Ladies, good morning. Good morning. All right, we're going to get started here in a minute, but I have a couple of announcements. This is our last week together for Fight Like a Queen, but there might be a possibility of doing a six-week study in the spring. So what we would like you to do is, if you're interested in that, or even if you're not, we have a sign-up sheet in the back, because our wonderful secretary, Erica, bless you. She's actually an admin. I wouldn't call. Is anybody a secretary anymore? I don't think so. She's gonna accumulate a list, and I know we have about probably half of what we've had from the very beginning. So if you remember other people that were here that are not here, like Kelly, and you know people you know that aren't here right now today, you might just jot their name down on the list as well, if you think they would care about hearing about this again. So that's the first announcement. The second announcement is, I think most of you picked up one of these, Pray for One Another. Carla is doing a wonderful follow-up for us on October 24th. It's an evening, dinners included, and it's going to be on prayer, particularly intercessory prayer, which we are not going to cover in this class, but it is one of the major weapons of warfare. Praying, intercessory prayer. And so Carla's been so kind to give us a class on that. Carla is the queen of intercession. So you're going to want to come and hear what she has to say. So if you want to come to that class, indicated on the chart, Erica, how do you want them to sign up? Yeah, put it on the list or let Erica know. Childcare is available, but you have to sign up for it, as is dinner. But you have to sign up for it. All right. Questions about this? Questions about the future? This is our last day together this fall. And we have more little flyers we'll put in the back. Thursday at 6 o'clock for dinner. There's dinner. There is. Never miss dinner with child care. That is the optimum, right? Yeah, let's hear it. Let's hear it for dinner with child care. All right, would you stand with me? We're going to do a little worship this morning. Lord, we thank you that you have brought us together today. We just want to honor you first and foremost. We don't want to neglect to lift our voices to you this morning. So receive our prayers, our act of worship. We love you.
And who breaks the power of sin and darkness, and whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings. And who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder, and who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, this King above all kings, Jesus, and this is amazing grace, and this is what failing This is a fatal blow that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you would lay down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for what you've done.
We just take a moment to recount. We just take a moment to recount all that you've done for us, Lord. We remember. We remember. We remember all the times you showed up for us. We remember all the ways that you have loved us. We remember your acts of grace and mercy and healing poured out from the heavenly realm into our lives. Today we remember and we stand in awe of you. Just come and be with us today, Lord. Teach us. Teach us once again how to be your women, how to be your warriors. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Can you hear me? Does it seem loud enough? That was Jeremy Riddle. He's pretty nice on the eyes, isn't he? He's not hard to watch while you're worshiping. Right? Can I just say that? Like, okay. Jeremy. That's not it. His most famous song is, It's Left Me. He had one that you would recognize, but that's Jeremy Riddle. Beth Alive. Well, good morning. I'm glad to see you all again. It's wonderful to be together one more time. And this is our last time. And today we're going to be talking about how to stand strong in maturity. I believe this is a message the Lord is really passionate about, because hopefully it's going to launch you out. And I wore my queen shirt this morning so that I can really speak like a queen today. But remember, a queen is nothing without the king. And so we stand in awe of him today, don't we? The King of Glory. And if we could really get it solid in our mind who the king is, we would quit quibbling about who we are. Because we serve at the pleasure. You know, that's the phrase now. We serve at the pleasure. And it's used for the president. We serve at the pleasure of the president. But we serve at the pleasure of the king, right? What pleases him, what makes him happy, what blesses him, what gives him worship and praise and honor. You know, worthy is the Lamb, right? Worthy is the Lamb. That's going to be the chant when you get to heaven. I mean, that's the mantra. Worthy is the Lamb. And so we should start now. Why not? We should be living lives so that we proclaim with our life and with our lips, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And so today I'm going to encourage you to ramp up your life into another dimension. You know, just before I walked out the door, Don said to me, "Robin, what are you teaching on today?" And I said, "Oh, I'm teaching on taking your stand." You know, stand, therefore stand. And he said, "Oh, it takes courage to stand. You should say this is courageous stand." He said, "It takes a lot of courage to stand." And I said, "Oh, tell me more, Don." And so this is from Don. Don said, fear is the finest weapon the enemy has to wield. It makes you feel small. It makes you feel stingy. And it lies to you that you will be safe if you operate in fear. And it also seduces you into trying to be nice. We were sitting on the couch a couple nights ago, and we were watching the baseball game, which was abysmal. But anyway, because we're Cardinals fans. And, you know, they were talking about golden gloves, golden gloves. This person's getting this award. This person's getting that award. And I turned it on and I said, I think I'm going to get the award for trying to please everyone in my life. And he said, well, I wouldn't want that one if I were you. I said, no, that's me being nice. See, the enemy has kind of spoken a lie over you that good Christian women are always nice. And we are supposed to be kind. That's a fruit of the Spirit, gentle, right? Let's see. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control. Those are fruits of the Spirit. But nice isn't in there. Because we have used that word to mean pleasing, compromising, you know, not taking a stand for what you really believe in, because it wouldn't be nice. You were supposed to say that. It wouldn't be nice. Don said it takes courage, and he said it reminded him of Teddy Roosevelt's words. Let me just, I have them here on my phone. Teddy Roosevelt was back in 1910. He gave this famous speech, and it was, let's see, it's got to be here somewhere. Let's see. And it was The Man in the Arena is the name of the speech, but I'm just going to read a couple of sentences from it. This is, you know, this is a man's point of view of what courage looks like, okay? So I want to read this to you. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood. That's a man's perspective on being a warrior. But I believe that we women have our own ways of war. I mean, sometimes we do have to leave blood. Sometimes we do have to sweat and stir up the dust. I agree with that. But I think women particularly are equipped to persevere. And today I want to tell you that I think one of the strongest weapons we have against the enemy is perseverance. Women know how to go on. Women know how to stay in the fight. Women know how to get up and do it another day. Women know how to keep going even when everyone else has fallen back. I believe women have the stamina and the strength. Now, I'm not saying men don't, okay? You're hearing me, right? We're not, like, I'm not either or. But I'm just encouraging you as women that this is one of your greatest giftings, is that you go on. You do it again. You get up. You know, how many times have you gotten up with a sick child or sick yourself and have that other person that you live with sleep right through it? I'll never forget a time Don's mother was so sick. She was so, so, so sick in the middle of the night that we had to call a doctor, which was also her brother-in-law, but we had to call him and ask him to come over and give her a shot to stop the nausea, stop the vomiting. And I was up with her and helping her in and out of the shower. And, you know, she was just had a really bad, bad case of all of that. And Don and his father slept right through it. And that's nothing against them. You hear what I'm saying? I'm trying to say, women, you have the ability to war. You have the ability to stand strong. You have what it takes to take your stand against the enemy and win the fight. I want to just review with you a few things because I have attempted to set up in front of you six standards of warfare. Now, what is a standard? It says in the Bible, when the enemy comes in like a flood, I will raise up a standard against him. What's the standard? The banner is attached to the standard. The standard is the stake you put in the ground. The standard is the pole. It's a thing you point into the ground, pound it in, and then fly your flag. So when the enemy comes in, you want to raise up the standard so it will hold your flag. And I am asking you, what is flying on your standard today? Is it the flag of self? Is it the flag of worry? Is it the flag of fear? Is it the flag of not good enough? Or is it the flag of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that says, He is my King? Get that flag up over your family. Get that flag up over your community. Get that flag up over your school. Let them know that you're flying a flag that is not the flag of this world. But it's going to have to be held by your standard. And I just want to review quickly what our six standards have been. First of all, we talked about your identity. Your identity should be grounded, pounded, buried in the firm ground of who Christ says you are. You're supposed to be living from the inside out. Let me just read a few of these scriptures that we used. You are the light of the world. Don't you know it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom? I no longer call you servants. I call you friend. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And my Father and I will come and make our home in you, that where I am, you might be also, and that you may be one as the Father and I are one. I mean, really, this little page of scripture, you could raise that up and you could live on it for the rest of your lives. Your identity is not about what you do. It's about who you are. It's been declared. It's unchanging. It's inheritance. It's who you are. It's not acquired. It's not circumstantial. It's not what you do. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is your identity. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have been made new. Catch up. Catch up to your identity. Stop dragging around that old self like a worn out zombie in The Walking Dead, where you're just dragging around your old sin nature saying, oh, I am a sinner. I am saved by grace barely. No, you are a child of the living God. You have no more to do with that. The old is gone. All things have been made new. Catch up to who you are in Christ Jesus. That's your first standard. The second standard you have to plant in the ground is the standard of your authority, which I attach to your loyalty. I believe that when Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me, therefore, you go. I believe that therefore is the connecting word that says what I have, you have. Authority in heaven and earth, you have. And how do we exercise that authority? Well, it's a spiritual principle called binding and loosing. Jesus said to his disciples, what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So let's bind ourselves to the supremacy and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us loose it as we walk through this world. Jesus has authority here. You know, you don't have to do it out loud if you're all like, you know, timid. It's okay. You can just walk through the store saying it to yourself. I have authority here. Jesus has authority here. I have authority here. Jesus has authority here. Take up your authority. That is your second standard. We talked about David in that context, how David was not afraid to take up the authority that had been given to him. He knew who he was and who he wasn't. He saw through the intimidation of the enemy. He had a cause. He stayed loyal to God over family, by the way. And he did it for king and for country. And the action he took is that he used what he had. Remember, he used the weapons that he knew, the ones that the Lord had given him. Find your weapons. Find your individual weapons. He remembered his past victories, the lion and the bear. He stayed under the authority of God, and he honored God. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would fight against the armies of the living God? You could say that one too. That's a good one. And remember, Goliath never drew a weapon. He just intimidated. He never drew his weapon. Never used it. He just threatened. Your enemy is a threatening, is into threatening, but he cannot conquer. I memorized this poem when I was in college. It's just a short little one. I must have been going through a lot. This is how it goes. I'm wounded sore, but not yet slain. I will lie down and bleed a while, and then I'll rise and fight again. That's who we are, women. We may be wounded sore, but we're not slain. We may lie down and bleed a while, but we're going to rise and fight again. Our greatest weapon in warfare is perseverance. Don't give up. Don't give up. The third standard we pounded into the ground, or I should say, Brian Jones pounded into the ground. Well, Brian did a great job of helping us understand the character of God and the character of the enemy. In his own beautiful way, he brought to us example after example of how the enemy works in our lives. And I followed up with the three major ways that I think of the enemy's work. The father of lies, the accuser of the brethren, and the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And we need to know that we pound the standard of the character of God into the ground. Tell me, who is God to you? Who is God? Hello. Creator. Almighty. Father. Protector. Lover of my soul. King of kings. Lord of lords. Sovereign God. My hiding place, my refuge, my strong tower. This is what, I'm going to turn to Psalm 27. This is a beautiful place to go if you are waging war. I would encourage you to commit this psalm to memory. It goes like this. I think some of you know it by heart. And I know some of it by heart, but I want to get it right. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. Then my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Sometimes it's just an enemy who's coming against you. Sometimes it's an army. And sometimes war has broken out. But in all these things, David says, I will be confident in the character, in the promises, in the power of my God. Know the character of God. Sink deep into who he is and what he has promised. The enemy cannot fight you on that. So raise up that standard of who he is, who God is for you. And then Kelly came and taught us about the fourth standard, which is the weapons of our warfare. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal for pulling down strongholds, right? And demolishing arguments and taking thoughts captive. The weapons of our warfare are spiritual. And she talked about all the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace. Those are our beautiful, beautiful weapons in the war. Last week, I talked to you about shutting the door, the access points, no longer allowing the enemy to creep in and try to steal, kill, and destroy who you are through places of unwholeness. I encourage you to get well. Get help. Get well. Rise up to the full stature of who Christ has called you to be. When we have a mindset that contradicts God's design and principles, we have an open door. When we have a mindset that contradicts God's design and principles, we leave a door open for the enemy to speak lies. We create an atmosphere around us, and it attracts the negative. As a man thinketh, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. And Luke 6:45, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. The assignment of the enemy reveals your destiny because he'll target the threat. And you are a threat. You are a threat. So that was our fifth standard. And the final standard I want to talk about today is the standard of perseverance, maturity, and taking your stand. You know, it's amazing to me how long it's taken me to grow up. And I'm still not there. Good grief. How many years is it going to take to get grown up? I'm not sure if I'm going to make it before I see the Lord, but I'm really going for it. I'm really going for it. In Ephesians 4:15, it says this: grow up into the full nature of the stature of Jesus Christ. Grow up into the full measure of the stature. Grow up into the full measure of the stature of how tall he is and how grown up he is. Have you ever noticed in the Word, in the accounts of the Gospels, that Jesus very seldom talks about himself? Have you ever noticed that? He talks about God. He talks about the kingdom. He talks about principles. He talks about healing. He talks about a lot of things, but he doesn't talk much about himself. I'm struck by that because I feel like we're a society today that's preoccupied with self. And even in our Christian circles, forgive me if I'm stepping on anyone's toes here, but even in our Christian circles, a lot is being written and blogged about how we feel. Can I get an amen on that? A lot is being written about, and you know, please hear me. I really want to be clear on this point. Feelings are very valid, and they need to be addressed with lots of empathy and lots of encouragement. But the focus on self, I think, has gotten out of balance. Where we are so self-occupied and so concerned that we have lost sight of the mandate, of the call, of the goal. Why the heck we're here? Remember what Mother Teresa says? You remember her words? Say again. I'm a pencil in the hand of God. He has no hands but these. He has no feet but these. He has no heart but this. She knew above all else her purpose was to be the hands and feet of Jesus to the least of these. That was her call. There is a call on each one of your life. It may not be the call of Mother Teresa, but it is a call that you need to answer. You need to answer the doorbell and say, yes, I will be what you have called me to be. Too many of us are still sitting in our living room wondering if we have enough to do what God is asking us to do. Yes, Linda, that's a point, that he has what we need, that we don't have enough. But I am here to tell you today that we may have to fight the theology, you and me, later. But I'm here to tell you today that if God has called you, then he has equipped you. And he will back you. It is somewhat about you, but not you looking in, but you looking up. So let's stop looking in and start looking up. In the Message, I'm reading from the Message here, Ephesians 4:15. You know, Eugene Peterson does not mince words. He's very clear here. No prolonged infancies among us, please. We'll not tolerate babes in the woods, small children who are an easy mark for imposters. God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth and tell it in love, like Christ, in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love. Should I read that again? That's the Message. Ephesians 4:14 through 16. It says right before that, it says, he handed out gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, and pastor teacher to train Christ's followers in skilled servant work, working within Christ's body, the church, until we're all moving rhythmically and easily with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son, fully mature adults, fully developed within and without, fully alive like Christ. It's time to grow up, ladies. And I'm old, and I still need to grow up. So you old ladies don't get off the hook. We all have some growing up to do. We all have some places where we need to be courageous and stand up and say, I am a child of the living God. I am a child of the living God. I wanted to show you something here. Let's look at another scripture really quickly. Hebrews 5, it says this. You know what they think Hebrews was written by a woman? Shocker. Of course, nobody will come out and absolutely declare it as absolute fact, but they have the thought that this could have been written by Priscilla, as in Priscilla and Aquila in the book of the Acts, who was really the founder of the church at Ephesus, one of the founders of the church of Ephesus. But in Hebrews chapter 5, it says this. I think I've got it right here. 5:11. He's talking about Jesus, the high priest, and he says, of whom we have much to say about Jesus, the high priest, and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you. Again, the first principles of the oracles of God. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles or the scriptures of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Now, he gives a whole list of what he thinks are elementary principles. Listen to these. Repentance. Baptism. Laying on of hands. Resurrection of the dead. And eternal judgment. You know, if Paul is saying those are elementary principles, I'd really like to know what the advanced principles are. Oh, yes, honey, time out. No, my car is in the back parking lot. Have a good hike, Don. You know, Don has taught me how to grow up. Because Don is a grown-up. He really is. He had the gift of having a very mature mother and father, but they were not of the faith, but they were very strong in themselves, and he was given a lot of love and a great, solid foundation of love, and the man just came forth with complete confidence in who he is. And then the Lord grabbed him and ramped him up. So he has no fear. He has no fear. So we were talking about growing up and being mature. And one of the things Paul points out here is that we've become dull of hearing. And Sarah and I were talking about this principle yesterday, and so I went home and made a little, what do you call this? No, not a model. This is an illustration. These are Duplos. These are Legos. And you know, the Lego industry is amazing. There's a really cool Netflix video on how Lego got started. But you know, Legos fit together, right? Because this side of the receptors is perfectly fit for this side, which is the receiver, right? So they fit together perfectly, right? The word of God finds its place when you're listening in your heart. But what happens if your heart is covered with lies or with confusion or with fear or with worry or with dullness, apathy? I don't feel like I care anymore. I think I know all I need to know. What happens? They just don't fit. They won't stick together. Your receptors have been dulled. Dull. Your heart has been dulled. And you no longer hear or receive God and His Word. And so we can't hear anymore. And we can't receive anymore. The writer of the Hebrews is saying here that receptivity is at least 50% of maturity. Receptivity. Taking it in. Letting it sit with you. Letting it become you. So that you can grow up. And if you know anything about Legos, they grow up and up and up and up and up and up. Right? Kids can build towers. Kids can build huge, I mean, have you seen some of the Lego creations? They're amazing. They even have built a car out of Legos now. Because they can stick together. They are receptive to one another. Perfectly fit. Where do we get this idea of standing strong is really from Ephesians. So I'm going to turn back to Ephesians 6. You all know this passage very well. But did you realize that Paul, this is the writer of this book, mentions the word stand 4 times? Let me read it to you. Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand, not run, not fight, stand against the wiles of the devil. Perseverance. Standing. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, let me remind you, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So what do we do when someone we love is saying awful things to us? What do we do? How do we think? How do we handle it? We come to this scripture and say, I'm not wrestling against flesh and blood here. I'm wrestling against the enemy who has found an access point in that person to come after me. And then what do? We forgive. That doesn't mean we cooperate. That doesn't mean we agree. I keep saying this, forgiveness is letting go. Letting God handle them. Very hard if they're close to you. It will not attach. This is where it's good not to attach. So if it is the enemy that's coming after you, get your duct tape out. All right? And put it over your heart and say, you have no place to attach in me. For I am firmly attached to what God thinks of me and says to me. This is called going to neutral. Neutral. So that we are not taken up into that negativity that's coming at us. Because we do not fight against flesh and blood. We fight against principalities and powers in the unseen realm. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Number 2. In the evil day. Are we in the evil day? We're in an evil day. You know, sometimes those of us that are moving in Christian circles, we don't see it quite as clearly, you know, as, but just step out of your little box or your little bubble for a little bit. Go over to Davis High School. Walk around. Look at kids' faces. Look at what's happening. And you'll know that this is an evil day. But we can stand in the evil day, it says, Paul says. Stand, therefore. I missed a stand. Okay, so therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So sometimes, all you can do is just stand, right? Just persevere. Just show up. Just be present. Just take up the full armor of God and hold your ground. Finally, stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then pray all the time for everything. You know, there's this famous phrase, and I don't know where it comes from, but it says, anything that you are not committing to prayer, you have basically told God, I will handle it myself. Should I say that again? Anything that you have not committed to praying about or praying over, you have basically told God, I'll handle that myself. Kind of scary thought, huh? Praying is so very important. Come to Carla's teaching. Prayer is so essential to warfare. But I just don't know that much about it, so you'll have to talk to Carla. So perseverance and maturity, this may be our greatest weapon. I wanted to show you something that I think will be helpful. I hope it will be helpful. I had the opportunity to go to a women's retreat at a Young Life property called Creekside this last weekend. And the speaker did a little exercise where she passed out a piece of paper. There were like 300 women there. And she passed out a piece of paper, and she had some sentences on it. Do you have it, Sarah? Because I've kind of forgotten some of her sentences. But, and what she did is she had each of us check a box or two boxes that applied to us. And then, you know, then we passed them all around so you didn't sign it. And passed them all around so you never knew whose was where. Right? But these are some of the things that she had us check the box for. And I doubt God is really good. I'm feeling stagnant in my faith. I'm struggling with how my body looks. I've been thinking inappropriate thoughts about another person. So far, check, 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 check. I struggle with depression or anxiety. I doubt God really loves me. I'm struggling with friendships. I'm scared God won't provide for me financially. I struggle to pray right now. I wonder if God has a special plan and purpose for me. You know, and I think she kind of tapped into some places where we have been lied to. And we've agreed with, right? So everybody checked 1, 2, 5, 6, 10 boxes, and then we passed them all around. And then she said, okay, now you represent who the paper you're holding. It's not yours, so we're not going to look at you. But I want you to stand up. If on your paper this box is checked, I doubt that God is really good. At least 60% of the women stood up. I'm feeling stagnant in my faith. Maybe 80%. We were appalled. Her goal was to teach us that we were not alone, to show us that we were not alone in how we feel. But I'm sitting there with Julie Grove and Sarah, and we're like, jaws are dropping. Our jaws are dropping. These are Christian women. These are not non-Christian people. These are people that have come out of the church. These are church group people. These are people that know the Bible. These are people that know how to pray. These are people that go to church every single Sunday. And Bible studies. And do journals. Another one that was really hard was, I struggle with depression. I struggle with depression. That was a big one, which I understand. I know it's a problem. I doubt God really loves me. I mean, it just broke my heart. It broke my heart that the people of God, like, it would be interesting to go to a non-Christian group and hand out this paper and see if there's any difference. You know? Does that break anybody else's heart? So I came, and plus, we had some prayer appointments with some people. And then I came out of those, could you give me a drink of water? I came out of those prayer appointments really struggling. Not that people don't need prayer. I understand that. I don't. But what they needed prayer for really caused me a lot of concern. Because almost all of them, good Christian women, and of course they gave me all the elderly women, but good Christian women who have all their lives followed the Lord are at this place where they wonder if they've done enough. Have I told my family about the Lord enough? Have I been following God close enough? And this is what I came up with. So, and what I prayed for them is that they would not get stuck in religion. So I'm going to put up here, this is my the way I think of it. Remember, we talked about this, that there is another word over your life. I don't have any marker. Well, I think Erica's going to get it, but so when I talk about another word, what am I talking about? Tell me. When I say there is another word, I say it with a lot of passion. There is another word. What am I saying? Maybe, but how would you define truth and belief there?
So my belief might be I'm not good enough. The truth is God created me for a purpose.
Okay. So we'll put truth above belief. Okay. God's word above what I think or know. What else is another word say to you? Thank you, Erica. That not everything you think is the truth. Right? There is another word about that. And you need to seek it out. And primarily, it is in the Word of God where you get your truth. Not your reality. Your reality is over here, trapped in your emotional self. Or your soul self, that, you know, we throw all these words around together, but I don't really care where you put it, in your heart, in your soul, and your I don't care where you put it. But this self right here is based on things you're experiencing. Now, let me say this. Some people in our Fellowship of Christian world, this is all they have. Do you understand what I'm saying? If they don't feel it, they don't think it's true. Right on? Right. And they're always seeking another experience. This is the old-fashioned way that people used to go to the altar over and over and over again. You know? just as I am, without one plea, I come to thee, you know, and they'd run up and give their lives to Jesus all over again because their experience was so powerful in them, it was guiding them, and they needed a new experience. On the other side of the world, where people are living without God, it's because of their experiences that were so unfair and so unjust and so cruel and so not right. How could a good and loving God allow me to go through all this? Because that's what I experienced. Understand what I'm saying? And this is mostly where we end up in prayer ministry, is we're helping people get healing in the places of their experiences so they can come to believe the word. Right? Yes, yes, go ahead. It's a great truth. Thank you. So the prince of the power of the air really means the prince of the power of the temporary, or the prince of the power of an incident or an experience. That's what we're talking about. Something that happened to you or was done by you. And these are hard. Believe me, I am not trying to downplay that these are hard and that these are real. They are. They're real. And they have to be dealt with. But they're not the ultimate truth. Now, the other way that I had encountered this weekend especially was what goes on, what I would say, in the intellect. Or, did I spell that right? Did I spell that right? No. Or the mind. Whoops, I didn't spell that right. Or the mind, what goes on in the mind. And really what this is, women, is this is an accumulation. I used to be a really good speller till I turned 65. Accumulation. Is that right? You know, things used to look right. Now they don't. Yeah, like what? Accumulation of ideas. And this is where we get into religion. Because what we have done is we have elevated the shoulds, the oughts, the have tos, the better do it. If you were. I think, what did you say this morning? You said something, what was that you said? I think I should. I should be perfect. She said, I think if I'm a Christian, I should be perfect. Where did we get that idea? We have taken the facts and the teachings and the preachings and all, you know, most of our preaching, most of what people that are trying to teach you something do is teach you what you should be doing. Most of it is in the category of should, ought, better be. And so it starts to accumulate in a place I call religion. So many of the women I prayed for this weekend just said to me, I'm not sure I've done enough. I'm not sure I've said enough. I already said that. But they were just, their hearts were so dear, but they were so trapped in their mind. Yeah? So let's let God speak another word. Let's let God speak the truth from His word, where these two things can come into balance. Where you do know what God says, you do have the principles, and you do have the experiences, but you're not trapped in one mindset or another, because you have taken up the promises of God for yourself. Right? And when you do that, you're fully bonded in the promises of God. You see, He has the other word. And when we receive it, then we're secure. And then our mind can receive information, and it's processed through the other word. So when a preacher says to you, or a teacher says to you, a good Christian woman would never have any thoughts about another man, you're going to process that. You're going to process that through another word, which says, give me another word. Who knows another word? Take every thought captive to Christ. He's faced every temptation that we have and has provided a way out. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Right? You see, we have another word to bring into the internal dialogue that can set you free, grow you up, and help you stand. So I have a couple more thoughts here, and then I'm going to give you an acronym. But this might not speak to you, but it spoke to me. I was on the California coast with my sisters and brother, and I was out on the cliff watching these rock. There was some rocks that, you know, promontories in the tide there, and it was really interesting to me because this rock was standing there, and when the water was calm, it would go up on the rock and come down, and even the rocks that were lower, it would kind of flow over. You know, and it looks so peaceful, you know, kind of just lapping up against the side of the big rock and kind of flowing beautifully over the rock that was more submerged. And I thought, oh man, that's like God's love. It just comes up and just washes over me. You know, all your waves have gone over me, you know. Deep calls unto deep. All the waves of love are washing over me. So sometimes in our life, we're just getting washed and lapped, and it's good, and it's calm, and we're receiving it. That was part of what I was thinking, is that rock just lays there and just lets the water wash over it. And man, that's a good rock, you know, just washes over. And then the wind came up and the waves came up, and all of a sudden that water wasn't quite so calm. And that water would come up against that rock and just like that. But do you know what that rock did? It stood strong. It stood strong. It could stand the wind and the waves. It could stand the gentle love, and it could stand the storm. That's what I'm encouraging you to do. Stand in the love and stand in the storm. Stand, therefore. A couple of thoughts on how to do this. Pay attention to your inner dialogue. Pay attention to your inner dialogue. Is there perhaps a familiar spirit that you're hosting? What would be the definition of a familiar spirit? Give me an example. Anybody have an example of a familiar spirit? Something that you host. Something that keeps coming up. Yeah, and what would it say to you? I'm just saying there's a dialogue there. What does it say? Be afraid. My little... Something bad is... I think we need to do a deliverance right here. Something bad is going to happen. You know what they say coming out of alcoholic home, what they say about people that have come out of alcoholic homes or have been raised by the child of an alcoholic is that you have this pervasive mantra going around your head all the time. Something bad's going to happen. Something bad's going to happen. Even when everything's good. Something bad is going to happen. It's a familiar spirit. And the thing about a familiar spirit is that it's so familiar that you often don't even recognize it. Like you just think, oh, that's just who I am. You know, I had my youngest daughter, Heidi, confront me a few years ago with anxiety primarily. And I looked at her and I said, that's just who I am. And she looked at me and she said, no, it's not. You're better than that. Whoa, little girl, shut up. No. But it put me on a journey for healing, and I am so grateful to her for that. I mean, it was a hard word for her to say, but I'm so grateful for that because it put me on a journey to seek healing in that place of getting free from that pervasive anxiety that was really a generational thing for me. And that's a tough one to get rid of. How about another familiar spirit? Anybody else? What's the dialogue in your head? Monitor your internal dialogue. Sir. Were you raising your hand? Oh, dear. Okay. All right. What's that say? What does OCD say? Fix it. It's not good enough. Clean it again. Get it in order. This is what the OCD familiar spirit. And it's so much a part of you, you don't even recognize it anymore. That's what you think.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what's another word? He did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Timothy, right? Right. So these familiar spirits, you'll recognize if you monitor your internal dialogue. Second, compare your dialogue to Scripture and see where you're being lied to. Third, there's power in a declaration. There is power in speaking the opposite out loud. So when in my fight against anxiety, I say this. I no longer partner with you. Spirit of anxiety. I declare that I am breaking the power, and then I declare over myself, I am created a woman of peace. So whatever, whether it's an actual word from the Bible or whether it's something the Lord has given you, declare it out loud over yourself until you begin to believe it. Persevere in the fight. Perseverance. That's the big message today, I think, from the Lord. Persevere. I am a child of God. I am loved. I am enough. I am a child of God. I am loved. I am enough. Even Jesus had to declare, I am. I am the light of the world, right? I am the good shepherd. I am the gate. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am that I am. So even Jesus had to declare the I ams. So you get some for yourself. I am a child of God. I am loved. I am enough. And finally, bring your lies to the light. Share them with someone. Ask for help. These are the ways that we overcome and stand strong. Romans 16:19 says, be wise in what is good and simple, innocent concerning evil. It's not as hard as you think. You've been lied to. The enemy has said, I'm really big and you're really little. But the truth of the matter is that you're a child of the living God. And he has no part, the enemy has no part in you. So rise up. It's time to rise. If we don't rise, they're not going to rise. The next generation. Your kids aren't going
to
rise.
That
really does add, and I appreciate that, because that's really what we're talking about today, is no longer dwelling on the lie, but standing in the truth and asking God, now show me how to walk this out. Show me how to hold this ground. Show me how to hold this ground. You know, the reason I had you read Timothy, for those of you that did homework, was because he makes reference in the second chapter of Timothy 1 through 6, he makes reference to three visuals which are helpful. First of all, he talks about the soldier. He says the soldier does not do his own thing, but does what the commander says. I'm trying to get to it here really quick so I can read it. Because, you know what, Paul just says it better than I do. I mean, what's that mean? But he's just, you know, the master communicator. The guy, I think maybe he was God's man. What do you think? So in Timothy here, chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says this. You therefore, my son, my daughter, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. In other words, pass it on. You, therefore, Timothy, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So the first visual he gives us is this soldier. The idea that the good soldier does not entangle himself up, preoccupies himself with himself, right? But that he goes after what the commander is asking him to do. The second is, and it also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. What Paul is saying here is that there are kingdom principles. And in competition, anyone who's been an athlete, and there are several really good athletes in this room, knows that you have to give yourself wholeheartedly to the training, to the going after, to the competing under the rules to win the race. And finally, the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Really what he's saying there is that what he sows, he will reap. The outcome of the farmer depends on what he puts in the ground. It is true for you too. These three principles. You serve at the pleasure of the king. That's your perspective. You go hard after the training and the guidelines of the principles.
That will create your endurance. And finally, you reap what you sow. That's the outcome. So standing strong is not just that passive. It's also very much doing things that can increase your capacity. Increase your capacity, your maturity, to be able to fight the good fight. Paul says at the end of the book, I have run the race. I have fought the good fight. Don't you want to say that? Don't you want to say, I fought the good fight? And what God says in His Word.
Yeah.
So can you give me an example?
If he is trustful, if he can believe what God says. And so the thing with us then would be to replace the doubt with trust.
Replace the doubt with trust.
And it's not based on what we think or what we believe, based on experiences and what we know of God.
Trust is the other word. It's up here. So you have to bring in your experiences, some where God, where you think, well, that worked for me, and others where it was like, where was he? So we have a mixture of experiences, things that give us both reason to trust and things that give us reason not to trust. Okay, am I being clear? In our experiences. We also have this religious idea in our mind that we're bad people if we don't fully trust. Right? Am I doing good back over here? Yeah, okay. So trust is a big one, right? So how do we take our experiences of both trust and not trusting, and how do we take this idea that we should be doing it better, and how do we get the other word? Okay, this, and you're right, and this is a point of decision. Now you have to decide which one of these voices is going to be the loudest. Bill Johnson says, never let anything get bigger in the window of your life than Jesus. So if you're over here with, I don't know if God can be trusted or not, you'd let something get bigger in the window. You've let your experience get bigger in the window. If you're over here saying, I'm a bad Christian because I have doubts, you've let the religion in your life get bigger in the window. You got to take these things off your Lego. You got to rip off the things that are keeping you from bonding to Jesus in trust. You've got to tell yourself, in your mind, over and over until you believe it, God can be trusted. God is trustworthy. God is for me, not against me. God is on my side. God sees my pain and He has an answer for me. He will never leave me or forsake me. You have got to renew your mind with the truth of who God is and what God says. Because as long as you're down here, how many of you struggle with trust? This is not just her, right? Come on, people. Why? Why do you struggle with trust? Come on.
Because of our experiences. Right? Because it's not right now.
Because it's not right. What? Yeah, you have the accuser standing there telling you, oh, what a, you're a lousy Christian. You're doubting God. And then what happens? When you start to partner with the accuser of the brethren, how do you feel about yourself? Do you go up or down? You go down, and that's exactly where he wants to take you. Believe me, women, Satan has no other goal but to take you to hell with him. Whether it's today.
You know what I do when there's a conflict in there?
Okay.
If I have learned to withdraw, and so I don't address it, I don't withdraw. You put it over here, and then it comes back rather than dealing with it.
Yes, because you are still, even though that's a defense mechanism. Withdrawal, denial is a defense mechanism. So I'm asking you today to stand up, to grow up, and to deal, and to get in God's presence and say, I don't like this. I don't want this. This is not who you promised me you would be. Now I declare, you are the God I can trust. You are the God that is good. You are the God that is for me. And even though I don't see it over here in this circumstance, I'm going to stand over here until it comes. Because otherwise,
amen.
Yes. Until it comes. Because you know what? If it's not good yet, it's not over yet. Believe me. Yeah, Lindsay. Right over here. Yeah, I really appreciate that insight, Lindsay, because I know the way I'm speaking today, it sounds like it's all up to you. But I also, in my life, have a very clear example of that. When I was a young mother, because of the home that I was raised in and because of my nature, I was highly controlling. I needed a lot of control in my family life, in my home life, in my children. And, you know, if you know how it is when you're trying to control your children. And so the result of that was there was a lot of anger from me towards them. And, I knew I shouldn't be angry. I mean, you know, I knew I shouldn't be that kind of angry. And like you said, it's something that you can know, and yet how do you get there? And one of the, I would every year, New Year's resolution, I won't be angry this year, I won't be angry this year. And then, you know, later on the day, you know, one of the kids would do something and, you know, I'd be really angry. I had two situations that really, really drew this up and out of me. The first one was when Cy was in like 10, and Beth's children were coming to my house as well. So I had Cy and Bryant and Stephanie and Kelly and Heidi. And then Beth married Dr. Yonker, and then I had Justin. And so now all of those kids are coming to my house after school, which was fine. But those three boys, I tell you, Cy, Bryant, and Justin, they could get into stuff. I am not kidding you. What one boy can't think of, three have got it nailed. And so they were just little terrors, you know? And I remember one day I just got so angry at them that I picked up the broom and started chasing them with the broom. I know it sounds funny now, but it was coming out of pure rage. And they ran out the front door, and I ran out after them, and I was chasing them with the broom. You boys have to stop doing that right now, because I had this high need for control, and little boys are just not controllable, and especially those little boys. And so my neighbor... And he wasn't even my next door neighbor. He was the neighbor three doors down across the street. Comes over to me and says, "Is everything okay? Like, do I need to be worried?" And I'm standing out of the room. "No, I'm fine." I realized it had gotten a little out of control. The other incident that happened in the same time frame, God was bringing me to the end of this thing. The same time frame was Don was out of town again. And that was a common thing in our lives in those days because, you know, he was in ministry and they went away. Right, Jennifer? I mean, they go away. Even if you have a baby, they go away. Like, right? Jennifer knows all about this. And so he was gone again. And I was just overwhelmed and overwrought. And it was just my own three kids this time. And Kelly and Cy got into it, and they were arguing, and they just wouldn't be quiet. And I just lost it. I mean, scary lost it. And I'm just being really vulnerable here. I just got scary lost it. And I just was screaming at them. But the thing was, I was screaming, but in my heart, and in, you know, I had gotten so far out on the edge that I was afraid I was going to hurt somebody. And so instead of doing that, I screamed at the top of my lungs and I ran into my bedroom and slammed the door, fell down on my bed and just started sobbing. And the funny thing is, so I was about, I think he was like 9 or 10 or 11 at the point, and he comes bursting into my room and I had a big high bed and he jumps up on the bed on all fours and goes, "Mom, Mom, calm down. We're all here and no one's on drugs." Okay. I got it. I'll never forget that. I'm sure he's forgotten, but I've never forgotten. He thought those were the two most comforting things he could say to me. Isn't that funny? But I agree with you, Lindsay. It's at that point that the Lord broke my heart over this particular behavior. And when he breaks your heart, you will get rid of it. You will do whatever it takes to get rid of it. And I submitted myself to him and said, "I cannot change this in myself. I beg you to come and deliver me. Deliver me from evil." And he did. He did. So much so that several years later now, when Heidi's gone to college, she comes to my house and says, "Mom, I have a problem with anger. Tell me what you did." See, this is what we want. When we can do our work to grow up and stand strong in the Lord, then we will leave a legacy that the generations will see and the people around us will see. And they'll be attracted to it. And they'll want what you have. That is the plan of Jesus. But when we stay as babies, immature, whining, self-preoccupied, always going around in the circle over and over and over again, then they look at us and what do they say? "You're not so different than me. I don't know that Jesus really works." And I'm afraid that's the message that is pervasive now. Because the church as a whole, like as a body and as individuals, has not been able to grow up for various reasons, both fair and unfair. So finally, I just want to give you one more tool. And it's an acronym. So it's S, of course, T-A-N-D, right? Stand. Ooh, I like that. So, the first one is speak against. I bet you guys can tell me what these are. The lie. Whatever it is. Speak against the lies. Speak against the lies and the set, and I'm going to add a little caveat here. Seek the Lord's perspective. The other word. Go for the other word. All right. Secondly, take up your authority. Different people have phrased this differently, but you know, some people say when you feel convicted of a sin or something you're not doing right, just say to the enemy, Jesus paid for that. Talk to him about it. Have you ever heard that? I thought that was pretty common. Okay. Ask for help. Ask for help. James Dobson said he saw a little 2-year-old boy trying to climb up in the back of a pickup one time. And he was saying this, somebody help the boy. Somebody help the boy. Ask for help. Never give up. This is the perseverance part. Just don't give up, woman. Keep praying. Keep seeking. Keep looking. Keep going for help. You know, just don't give up. Don't lay down. Just keep going. Don't camp. We talk about the journey, the road of God, the journey of our lives. Don't camp. Don't say, well, I guess I've given it all I can. I'll just wait now. No, just never give up. And finally, we've been talking about it. Declare truth and decide who you are and whose you are. We're here. I love that. It's beautiful. We're here. Yes. Yeah. Sure. Sure. Yeah, that's a beautiful picture. Thank you for sharing it with us. That really is a beautiful picture. And I know, it's been brought up several times. I fully understand that the power is in the Lord, that, you know, the bloodshed on the cross is what we hide under, that we need sometimes for him to fight for us when we can't fight for ourselves. I get all that. I really do. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to lay on you another have to or should or ought to. But I see a need in the body of Christ for women that know who they are and can stand for the Lord in the place that he has called them into and placed them in, so that they can then pass on what they have received to those around them and to the next generation. Because if, like my friend Jamal says, if not you, then who? If not now, then when? That just so reverberated with me in a time of great trial, where a very scary young man was coming to my door to visit my daughter. And everything in me wanted to lock the door. And she said, but Robin, if not you, to share with him the love and the hospitality and the grace of Jesus, then who? And if not now, then when? So I just pass that on to you, that this is, in my opinion, this is a time for us to consider growing up into the full measure of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I got. Questions? Thoughts? We have a couple of minutes. Any other?
One of the things that really stands out to me is fear is a weapon of the devil. I'm thinking so is God.
So is what?
Doubt,
yeah. Oh, the weapon. He has so, I mean, he thinks he has all the weapons, but he doesn't. So he's going to wield fear. He's going to wield doubt. He's going to wield worry. He's going to wield, you know, all kinds of things, like you're not good enough and all of this. Remember, he's the accuser of the brethren, right? He's the father of lies.
I'm going to hang on to that.
Good for you.
Remember,
good for you. Anything else we want to add, Carla? Yeah, that's I love that about you, Carla, because you reminded me that over and over again. This circumstance is an opportunity for God. And I need to remember that so that it doesn't become too big in my window. Okay, let me pray for you. Lord, I just thank you so much for your love. I think sometimes we don't even get it. That it's so big and so magnificent, your love for us. That it covers all this stuff. Like you look at us and you say, I don't care about that. I'm not even thinking about that. I love you. I have already decided. The Lord says to you, I have already decided about you. And what I've decided is that I love you. I've prepared a place for you. I chose you before the foundation of the world and have gifted you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. God, we need to really soak into your love, to be drenched with your love, to live out of your kind of love, which is unconditional, which is in spite of, which is never ending, which is enough. Jesus, I pray that as these women think about what they've learned in this class, that you would help us all to grow up, to stand up. Not as better people, but as loved people that are so filled with the love of God that it just pours out of us everywhere we go. That's what we really want. That's what you were like. You didn't have to think about yourself because yourself was fully engaged in the love of your Father. And so everywhere you went, you just poured the love out. Lord, that's what it means to grow up into the full measure of you. And I want that for myself, and I want that for my sisters in Christ. So I release now the power of God to bring you to the full measure of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.